Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Hot patooties all around. It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30. Maybe a Thursday edition. Who knows? We're recording on Wednesday. We're going to have a little bit of 4th of July goofing, which is some of the best goofing that there is, I think. 4th of July, when I was growing up, I loved 4th of July.
Man. You know,
like, there's nothing like a sparkler.
Mm. What scene captures 4th of July so good, I think, is the Sandlot.
Sandlot, yeah.
Yep, that Sandlot scene where that song is playing and the fireworks
are
going.
Yeah, Ray Charles,
in the suburbs.
America the Beautiful. Yeah.
It captures it so well.
Uh-huh. Also, how about It's Nice Being With You in Our Nation's Capital on Independence Day?
So many good movies capturing the 4th of July. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
There's a little independent. I would love, dude, if you had the opportunity to go through any, like the memorials and all that stuff and hang out with anybody in movies in Washington, D.C. on Independence Day, I'd probably either go with Hal Moore, because he would know a lot of stuff. You know, He's a well-read individual. I'd go with Hal Moore from We Were Soldiers. I might go with Forrest, too. Because, I mean, just sitting around having a beer with old Forrest, hanging out, listening to him talk about Bear Bryant, what was going on with Alabama.
Oh,
he'd
yeah.
have some nice tales to tell.
I agree.
I absolutely agree. So last night, Macy's is doing this thing because they don't want to do their traditional fireworks on the 4th of July because they don't want crowds starting to form. Mm-hmm. So what they're doing is, over the course of a few days, they're just going to do a random pop-up fireworks displays. And I guess the first one was last night. I was sitting in my living room, and let me tell you, there've been fireworks going on for the last
couple weeks.
It's been going on weirdly. It's just been like people shooting off fireworks, and I still have not gotten to the bottom of why. But then last night I heard legit noises to where I was like, it sounds a little bit more than fireworks. So what do? I go up to my roof, and sure enough, over the Hudson, they're doing this huge, huge fireworks display. And I think I'm at the point now, like, fireworks were a lot cooler when you're younger, at least for me. Now it's like you've seen one fireworks display, you've seen them all, so it doesn't really do anything. But for some reason, I was just kind of transfixed by the moment, and I couldn't move, and I just had to stand there and watch the whole thing. So I was curious what you guys thought about fireworks.
What was that one that happened? Wasn't it in China or something like that, where they were supposed to have the world's largest fireworks display, and something happened with their trigger, and all of the hour and a half long fireworks show went off at
San Diego.
One time.
So that happened in San Diego when I was
That'd be awesome.
I was on Catalina Island for the 4th of July weekend.
Oh, many for a years wine ago. Mixer.
For a wine mixer. I was at the motherfucking Catalina wine mixer, and we can see from the island, you're up high, and you can look back towards the coast, and we could see they're teeny tiny, but fireworks in LA and Oceanside, yeah, whatever. And all of a sudden, where San Diego was, the sky lit up in the most enormous fireball, and everybody was like, oh my God, was there like an attack on San Diego?
Yeah.
Like, there was, the crowd kind of went silent. Everybody was like, holy fuck. And then word started coming over that, yeah, every single firework went off at once by accident. And it was,
yeah, there's
huge.
Been a couple, and like the scenes of people that had it on like GoPros or cell phones or anything like that, diving out of the way like, mother of God! Yeah.
You're already telling your kid not to be a little bitch about the fireworks.
And San Diego is like the worst spot to have that, like right outside of Camp Pendleton.
Yeah, exactly. All the veterans
What's
there.
Going on?
Please,
no!
Please be courteous with your fireworks, all the signs in the yards, and then all of a sudden this like enormous
Everybody enormous get down!
Yeah.
Man, that's so goofing.
Overall, like, where do you guys stand on fireworks in general?
I like them from a distance. I'm not a big fireworks guy. I don't know if I've ever really been a big fireworks guy, mostly because I don't like staying up late, like going outside and being out late. Now, like, taking my kids somewhere and be out there and the show starts at 9 o'clock. Fuck that. I don't want to do that. But I live in the hill country in Texas. And so on my back porch, it goes up against a greenbelt, and there's big rolling hills behind my house. And you could see a long ways away, and all across San Antonio, because fireworks are legal here, mm-hmm. you'll have people having these pop-up fireworks shows on the 4th of July or New Year's Eve night. And it is cool to sit out on the back porch and just kind of watch them. But normally I just kind of like hang out in my room, chill with my dog, because my dog's not a big fireworks guy either. Sure. So we just kind of hang out and watch a movie together with a little bit of Bose headphones on with the noise canceling.
I have to imagine it's different for when you have children, though, for like you and Kyle.
Yeah, I'm like, shut up. 4th of July is a little bit better because people are done by like 10 o'clock at night, usually 10, 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Midnight on motherfucking New Year's Eve. I'm like, okay, we get it. 2020, you're really excited about what's about to happen?
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say, Kate, about Spork?
Oh, there's two cool schools of thought on it. I was going to say Gus is afraid of him, and Spork's over here lighting bottle rockets out of his butthole. He's like, check this out, Mom. But no, I enjoy them. That's about – the only thing I don't like is I was at a Marine Corps wedding in the boonies of Pennsylvania a few years ago. Shout out Staff Sergeant Fagert if you're listening. And it was a delight. It was a really great wedding, except – later on, people are hitting the keg and then lighting off fireworks on their own. And I get so fucking nervous watching like just your drunk buddies lighting fireworks mm-hmm. off. Because mm-hmm. I'm just like, this is, people are going to lose a finger. It makes me fucking nervous. I'm not fun enough to just enjoy it. So everyone yeah. watch your fingers and your buttholes, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out to Jason Pierre-Paul from the Giants, who blew his fucking hand
every
off with
year,
it.
Man.
But still managed to get 15 sacks the next season, which is unbelievable. Let's go into round number one. Here's the rounds for the day. Round number one, the greatest of all time. We're going to have a little bit of which concert would you want to perform at on 4th of July weekend and why. Round number two, you might want to grab an ice cube because we got some piping hot tea. An Instagram account run by the Marine Corps veteran has higher up boot blouses in a knot after holding March Madness style contest to find out which unit was the worst in me and Kate's beloved Corps. Round number three, our guy, Chief Warrant Officer Bobby Yarbrough, is back at it again. He's all over the place.
Bobby right Yarbrough, man.
We're trying to get him on the show. Answer your fucking emails, Bobby. How about that?
Yo, he's all over Facebook, but he can't answer an email.
Don't try to go in with the baby girls and be like, I'm cool with the ZBT guys and respond in the fucking DMs and on the timeline and then not answer my goddamn emails. They're gunner. Fucking answer me back. Mm-hmm. Bitch.
Maybe now he'll clap back at you and you'll hear from yeah. him.
Yeah. All right. He's clapping back at Neanderthals this time, crying about the LGBTQ community in our military because the Marine Corps, shout out to them. They're like stepping it up big time. Shocking to me.
I know.
Like the yeah. difference in nature of what's going on now comparatively to 10 years ago is shocking. Proves once again, Mattis was wrong. Round number four, Private First Class Vanessa Guillen has been missing from Fort Hood for more than 2 months, and the case is making national news, as well as her family, friends, and supporters demand a stronger response from the Army. This is one of those stories that is absolutely heartbreaking that's happening right now.
Yeah.
I just don't think the nation has like the stomach for more bad news. It's almost like it's like, okay, like you kind of put blinders on it. It's terrible, like what's happening with that. And finally, round number five, far out. The Navy is begging sailors to stop buying LSD online. We say leave them alone. I mean, if you could go out on a submarine, have a little trip while you're hunt for Red October goofing, to me, that sounds like a great time, mm-hmm. especially if you're doing it with clear skin, thanks to our friends at Roman. If you've been dealing with acne, redness, and dark spots and wrinkles, finding treatment that works can be complicated. You need a skincare that actually performs, but better getting started can be overwhelming. Thankfully, there's a solution, though. Roman makes it convenient to get customized prescription skincare that really performs. Just grab your little phone, pull out your little dick skinners, dial the number for a free online consultation, and you'll hear back from a U.S. licensed physician in 24 hours. Can't do that anywhere else. You can't get a doctor on the phone within like 6 weeks.
No.
We're trying to get one of my kids an appointment, and they're like, oh, our first available is September 7th. September 7th? I don't even know if she'll have eyes at September 7th.
Yeah,
what
ridiculous.
Are you talking about, optometrist?
If you're waiting,
you need glasses.
If you're waiting on VAA appointments, treat yourself to a quick Roman doctor appointment. I mean, come on. It's going to
yeah.
feel like a dream.
Yeah, and if you're going there for yourself, and if you're above 18, trying to get a little skin goofing, and you know it's going to work because Roman has the licensed clinicians, also look into their boner pills. You can get having a little bit of sex, you can wipe them on discreetly. You guys know all about that. Go to GetRoman.com/Barstool to try to get a 3-month supply of nightly defense for just $5. It's free to chat with a doctor, and your first order is just $5. That's GetRoman.com/Barstool. You can't get cheap-ass liquid soap from Walmart for $5. There's eligibility requirements and additional terms may apply. GetRoman.com/Barstool. Let's start the Independence Day show.
Yay.
Yay, yay indeed, Kate.
Yay.
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 I can't imagine a better
Record
scratch.
Catherine, it is 10:20 a.m. Have you brushed your teeth today?
Fuck no. No, I have not.
We're ruining the... That's a safe round thing, Scott.
That's not a safe round. No, that's not a safe round, buddy. That's something that needs to be done first thing when you wake up in the morning.
No, no, no. We don't go yuck mouth goofing at the top of the show. We need to get into what we got. We got important matters.
All right, important matters coming.
All right, mm-hmm. So Whitney Houston at the Super Bowl singing the national anthem. It's a wartime desert storm mm-hmm. is going on. You have all kinds of planes going over. Whitney Houston's jacket that she wears that
dude,
day.
She was wearing like a tracksuit, but she made it work. Usually people, they sing the national anthem and they have this like really formal attire, and she was wearing a tracksuit, but
it
worked.
You didn't know if Whitney Houston was going to start singing or if she's going to go run the fucking 200 meter hurdles.
Seriously.
You had no idea.
Yeah. It was all time.
I think she would have crushed both of those. Mm-hmm. But being in that position where you can sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl during that time period would have been unbelievable. Kate and I have been talking a lot about it on the Chaps and Kate show about the Garth Brooks documentary. And Garth Brooks had this huge concert at the height of his fame whenever he went to Central Park. And they estimated that over 1 million people were at his concert in Central Park, and it was bananas because he comes out there and he's like, boom, boom, ba-dum, boom, boom, boom.
It starts me, playing Garth rodeo Brooks first. And I'm doing Garth Brooks, and I'm rodeo, and I'm Garth Brooks, and I got a documentary out now.
Is that a new release from Garth?
Yeah, that's a song. Yeah,
that's a new Garth.
So he's like boots and chaps and cowboy hats, and he's going off on it. But I would love. There's so many concerts that I like watching right now on YouTube. That's one of my. If I just need 20 minutes to myself to kind of just lose myself, I'll try to find a concert on YouTube and watch it.
The Talking Heads stop making sense. I could watch it a million times in a row since 1982.
Oh.
Just so you know, that's my recommendation for everyone out there. If you're getting Stony Baloney this weekend, we'll stop making sense, but Talking Heads.
Okay.
Great concert.
Okay. I will tell you, though, that is something that I love to do if I have people over my apartment. There's nothing better than finding a good show and just putting it on and letting that guy run for an hour or so. It's unbelievable.
But quick note, too, about that Whitney Houston Star Spangled Banner. It was actually when she recorded it, you know, she did the anthem at the game or whatever.
And this is all off the top of Kate's head. She didn't just Google it.
Didn't just Not Google it. But it was a charity single. When she recorded it, it was a charity single to raise funds for soldiers and families of those involved in the Persian Gulf War. And then after the September 11th attacks, Arista Records re-released Houston's Star Spangled Banner. And once again, she donated all the royalties, as did Arista Records, towards firefighters and victims of the terrorist attack. I did not know that about this song.
Oh, Kate, I was actually about to pay you a compliment that it was amazing that you had that fact at the top of your head.
Yeah, no,
it's pretty incredible.
It's
so
a great
I wanted
fact,
to talk to you guys about if you could do a little Freaky Friday. We're familiar with that, right? With longtime Stoolie Lindsay Lohan, Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, brick by brick.
Do a little Freaky Friday, and you could just take, let's say, an hour and a half, and you could put Kate's brain inside the talent of somebody else, like the concert style. Who would you want to Freaky Friday with, and at what event? Cons, we'll start with you.
All right. As usual, I have more than one.
Oh,
so,
God damn it.
Bear with me. Okay. Number one, Dave Matthews at Central Park. I forget what year it was. It was within the last 10 years, though, I think. And that show was just unbelievable. So that would be number one. Number two, I don't care. I'm going to be cliche. Number two, Bruce Springsteen, 2012, yeah. MetLife Stadium. It was his birthday show. I was there. Thank you. hot. There were thunderstorms, so we got put into the concourse.
And the thunder rolls. And the
lightning. Go. It was like thunderstorms.
Always one bar too many, Kate.
Yeah. So the show's supposed to start at 8 p.m. We get put in underneath the concourse waiting for these thunderstorms to pass. We come back out at 10 p.m. Now, most people, you would be like, all right, cool. He's going to play an abbreviated show. Number one, he still ended up playing 4-hour show, so he played till 2 in the morning. But the best part was he comes out there at 10 p.m. and he goes, whoa, looks like I just invited 70,000 people to my birthday party, because it was his birthday. So that was pretty cool. And then finally, I would have loved to switch bodies with Frank Sinatra in 1976 when he played the main event at Madison Square Garden. It was somewhat of a comeback / farewell show, and they put him on a ring in the middle of Madison Square Garden, like a boxing ring without the ropes, and he sang all his hits, and it is widely regarded as one of the greatest Frank performances of all time. So those would be my three. Although
that's
you only
a good
asked for one.
That's a good list. I mean, Bruce, I could deal with that, but the rest of it's solid as shit. You could also say Dave Matthews Live at the Red Rocks would be unbelievable, too. Yeah. Just having that experience. But anything at the Red Rocks, really. It's just the best concert venue that there is. Kate, what about you?
Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you standing on the edge of your seat? It's for pick. I'm real full of music today. It's Freddie Mercury, Queen, Live Aid, 1985.
Damn, that's mine, Kate. That's one of mine.
It was the most 21-minute set. That's all he did. But 1.9 billion people around the world saw it and fell in love with them. It was one of the most – he did this part, too. It was 7 p.m. It was still light out. He wasn't even the closing act or anything like that. And far and away, he blew everybody away.
What's your favorite part of that one that you would just there's one particular part where he does it where that's the reason why you do it.
I think I know which one you're gonna say, but go ahead, Kate.
It's the first few notes of when he sits down, when he first gets out there, first few notes of Bohemian Rhapsody, and the crowd fucking explodes. Yeah, that part is just can we play a little
Yes, oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking of.
And everyone's
doing it back. Yep. That would be unbelievable.
That's what I was thinking. I agree. Yeah, that's all time.
I think that to me, that one is like the epitome of concert. Also, another Super Bowl memory. I would love to feel what it would be like to Janet Jackson to have my titty pop out on national TV.
Yeah, me too, honestly.
Just do a little nipple goofing.
Speaking of Super Bowls, I was at the Super Bowl when Prince sang Purple Rain while it was raining, while we were all holding purple LED lights, and that was a very cool experience.
And this one is going to be a little bit more cheesy, and it's going to go back to my Jacksonville, Florida roots. Are you guys ready for this?
Yeah, hit me with it. Hit me with that white trash.
Woodstock 1999.
Okay.
When my guy Fred Durst was out there.
Oh, absolutely.
He played Break Stuff at the second Woodstock, and he's like, break your fucking face tonight.
And people started breaking shit.
And he's going nuts in his red Yankees hat.
Yeah.
Everybody's going crazy. I would love to be the map. Let's move on to round number two.
One note too many.
Okay.
What do we got for round number two, Kate?
My goodness, what a tangled web we weave when we become veterans and start messing around online because we're not afraid of our commands anymore. And that is the case for the gentleman who runs the DD214_memes account. And this account has a pretty good following to it. I should have looked more into it. I don't know the name of the Marine who runs it, but he seems like a pretty funny guy. And I was looking through it and like, oh no, is this one of those toxic veteran accounts that's like just the tip of the spear kind of thing? But it's not. It's actually a pretty cool account. So anyway, he held this concert, I'm thinking of Freddie Mercury still. He held a concert. His titty popped out, too. He held a contest.
So there I was, my fucking tits.
So he held a March Madness-style bracket for which unit in the Marine Corps party is the hardest. And it was really fun. A lot of Marines participated. It was mostly, unsurprisingly, infantry was just far and away crushing it. And it was 1-7. The Marines from 1-7 just absolutely crushed it. And there's pretty funny stories if you scroll through the thing. So that went really well. He even made a t-shirt that they could buy afterwards that they were the champions and the hardest partiers. Well, then he did one, started like the other week, that has caused quite the stir. and it is the March Madness bracket for the worst chain of command in the Marine Corps. Mm. And my goodness.
Which those sensitive Sallys won't be upset about it at all.
And so here's the message on it. So it goes and goes. So a lot of infantry battalions, 9th Comm, of course, I was not surprised to see. Now, they've had a reputation since I was in, and that was like forever ago now. Couple CLRs, couple tanks, but far and away, 3rd Tracks was the winner of the worst chain of command. And scrolling through some of the stories, my God, but let me read this. With nearly 10,000 votes and a difference of only 51 votes, 3rd Tracks has claimed the title of the worst chain of command in the Marine Corps. With the voting as close as it was, we felt it was only fitting to designate 2nd Battalion 1st Marines as the worst infantry chain of command in the Marine Corps as well. Thank you to everyone who voted. But then it got kind of serious, because then people started sending him from 3rd Tracks and from some of these other units, here's why mine is the worst. And some of the allegations ended up being pretty serious and pretty heavy. And it's all this shit started spilling out about.
And you don't want that if you're running that account either. Like, right. You want people just to be goofing, and then you're like, oh man, should I say something?
Should I be highlighting all this waste, fraud, and abuse?
But the guy who runs the account decided that this was serious enough. Like, sometimes we have to do it to, you know what? I can't ignore this. I have to address it. Well, first of all, once 3rd Tracks won, and Tracks is like a tank that goes in the water, for those who don't know. Yeah, as you ain't Tracks, you ain't shit. I used to be stationed right next to them at Camp Pendleton when I was down by the beach. Anyways, people got mad right away. People started, looks like from what my scrolling, my stalking, people started tagging the commander's wife on the 3rd Tracks thing. So somehow immediately 3rd Tracks chain of command knew what had happened. And then they started, and I don't know if this is true, but here's some of the scuttlebutt coming out about it, that Marine leadership from all different units are going on to find out which of their Marines follows the account and if any of them have commented on it, and they're getting in trouble for that. This is the DMs I'm getting and word on the street that I'm getting.
A bunch of losers, losers.
And now 3rd Tracks is 96 for the 4th of July has been taken away. So morale is already very low for 3rd Tracks. Now they're not allowed to go anywhere this weekend, apparently. And so the guy who runs the DD214 memes account, he brought up a really great point that a lot of Marines, especially at the lower ranks, are terrified to stand up for themselves. They don't think they can, and they don't know how. They don't know how to deal with the toxic chain of command. They don't know how, if they feel like they've been unjustly given an NJP. Because
you don't. I mean, they don't go out and teach you, like, hey, if we're doing something fucked up, this is how you fuck us up, daddies. Like, this is how you do it.
I was just going to say,
you don't get taught that.
The sad fact of the matter is that they really, I don't know what it is they could do.
Well, so that's there is stuff you can do. And he ended up putting out a whole thing of posts explaining to them, here's the whistleblower clause that protects you. Here's steps that you can take if you think you're being unfairly NJP'd.
Good on that guy.
Where you can pull, he pulled the receipt so that the Marines could show, if their command tried to be like, no, you can't, that a Marine could hold up this paper and be like, it says it right fucking here in our articles or whatever. Like,
yeah,
fuck you.
But I try to put myself in that position. You pull a piece of paper out of your pocket, I might fucking hit you in the
face. Well, not that, but you know what I mean? Like, but so you can reference whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, actually, snaps on, it says right here.
Yeah. Well, excuse me. But then, now their 96 has been taken away, which is such a huge crush to morale. And I know people are like, why do they have it with COVID-19 anyway? At least maybe they could get, like, I don't know if Marines do Airbnbs, but like, at least they could all get a house together at the beach, or they could all do something. Like, at least they could go off with their buddies and have a good time. Now they're stuck in the barracks in a unit where it's already clearly extremely low morale. And I just want to read this because it's kind of heavy, but here's some of the stories. This is one of them that was coming through. 3rd Tracks, multiple instances of Marines defending themselves or someone else from sexual assault, and they get NJP'd while the assaulter walks away free because secured drinking after 1700 makes OOD stay at the barracks. BC told Marines to come to him for help with mental health, and every time they have, they get in trouble, pretty much. They get told they're going to get kicked out if they try and seek mental health help. Rampant drug use by staff NCOs swept under the rug. Staff NCOs,
hell yes.
Staff NCOs getting away with multiple cases of sexual assault that gets reported, and nothing happens until it happens to a female officer. So it's like all sorts of drugs and cover-ups and things getting swept under the rug so officers of the day don't have to be like on extra duty. Like, all sorts of really shitty things. And the one that I saw the most was Marines terrified to get mental health help there. It's an intimidation by higher command, like, don't you dare kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really fucking terrible.
Which is shocking. I don't know how you get to the level of leadership now and just are that level of idiot where you could get recorded saying something like that.
Well, and also, you got to think just by the numbers, it stands to reason that some of those enlisted senior NCOs, they need mental health help as well. So
definitely. Especially in third track. So
yeah. So the fact that they're giving their lower enlisted Marines a hard time about this is
show me a master sergeant that doesn't have a little bit of mental issues, and I'll show you somebody that's stealing valor.
This is all alleged. You know, I guess a cover ass. This is all alleged, but this is DMs that I've been getting now on my Twitter and on my Instagram. And it's just scrolling through the comments and then clicking his Instagram story and seeing what has been submitted to him. Yeah. And so the guy who runs it, I wish I knew his name. He found you can call the Marine Corps' office for whatever unit. It's listed online. He actually called Third Trax, and the Sergeant Major of Third Trax answered, and he recorded himself letting the Sergeant Major know that Third Trax was the worst. And the Sergeant Major actually laughs at it. So here, let's play that clip.
Hello, who's this?
This is Sergeant Major Douglas.
Good morning, Sergeant Major. I hope you and the Marines at Third Tracks are having a wonderful Marine Corps day.
We are, sir.
As a former member of your unit, I just wanted to congratulate you and your chain of command as being voted the worst chain of command in the entire Marine Corps with nearly 5,000 votes. May you take some time to reflect, correct yourselves, and shift your focus to taking care of the Marines in your charge rather than burning them. Tell Bernice I hope he gets butthole AIDS, and remember, don't let your memes be dreams.
Anyway, so there you have it. He also made them a t-shirt, Yat Yaz, the 3D AABN.
Can you explain to me what that is? What's Yat Yaz?
You ain't tracks, you ain't shit. That's their little slogan. And then it has two little tracks vehicles with a giant, giant green penis lurking over them. So pretty funny. Get those t-shirts while they're hot. But I hope that – and reading so many comments too, Marines were saying, well, we're terrified to do the climate command surveys because we know sometimes they come back to us somehow. They figure out who wrote what or who said what. Or they end up.
I told the story where I got ripped out of the chow hall. So this, about old Sergeant McDonald, yeah.
I feel like from now on, March Madness brackets are the way to go for the Corps.
Or just bring it to us. We'll put people on blast. No one's going to yell at us. We can't get NJP'd.
True. But my God, it's at DD214_memes. And I don't know if I was in and as a leader, I can see me being like, you shouldn't be supporting this, blah, blah, blah. But also, fuck you, you're a toxic command.
I mean, it almost seems like now this can be somewhat of an outlet for some of these Marines to voice their how disgruntled they are. And if they can do it anonymously, at least if they feel as though that they're at least telling somebody about it, maybe something will happen as opposed to just sitting back and taking the abuse.
Oh, two more things, too. At Disgruntled Docs 2.0 is doing one for the Navy now. So stay tuned for that. We'll have that next week. And also, this memes account is telling everybody to write their congressman from Third Tracks. Write your congressman right now and get your 96 back. And so I've also gotten messages, we're doing it. They're writing their congress members to be like, the Third Tracks took our 96 away. So, I mean, what a wild
story. America celebrate liberty and we don't have ours? What?
Yeah, what? So just absolutely wild. So
I mean, this is nothing new though, right? In terms of things of this nature happening all across the military. This is certainly something that's been pervasive throughout the military since Jesus wore short pants. But I will say, and I've said it before and I'll say it again and again, I am very grateful that I am no longer in the military when social media is as prevalent as it is. Because I just think that's a whole other can of worms that these leaders have to deal with now that is not something I would welcome.
No, but you can do it in a little bit different way, like our guy, Chief Warrant Officer Bobby Yarbrough, is doing it. We're going to move on to round number three now. This one comes from Paris Island. Again, the climate in some areas of the Marine Corps, much remains the same.
Much better.
But in some other areas, it's very different. This is one of those times. The Marine Corps put out, it was for Pride Month, they put out a picture that came out on almost all of their social media channels that had a Marine that was standing there, and the Marine, she was the eye in the pride, and they had the different colors of the rainbow flag behind them. And if that kind of thing gets you mad, what are you doing with your life?
What are you doing serious? With your life?
If you don't like it, just keep scrolling.
Yeah.
Just keep it. There's so much content on the internet. why get so upset about it? But Chief Warrant Officer Bobby Yarbrough, I just imagine this dude has never, ever cleaned out his coffee cup.
Never.
He's just sitting at his desk with a huge, his nameplate on the end of his desk, enormous. Chief Warrant Officer 3 Yarbrough.
Bobby just sitting Yarbrough. There. Still says Bobby.
Huge. It's probably like 5 feet long. A member of the U.S. Marine Corps has drawn attention for a series of social media posts forcibly defending LGBTQ Marines and the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and Don't Pursue. They should always put that in there. I think that's an important part. Chief Warrant Officer Bobby Yarbrough, Communications Officer at Marine Corps Recruit Depot in South Carolina, responded to a number of Facebook commenters who were still way behind the times. It came after the Marine Corps issued a force-wide statement earlier this month in support of LGBTQ service members and the 10-year anniversary of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, stating that the USMC is, quote, committed to living the values we defend and treating everyone equally with dignity and respect. Mm-hmm. And now, if that's a statement that you disagree with,
you're a fucking idiot. Come on. You're a fucking moron. And the Staff Sergeant Rebecca Elflota was the I in Pride. So you're talking about an actual service member who's for your country right now. Shut the fuck up if you have a problem with it. But yep. Basically, once again, what was it, Barbie Yarbrough? What was it that he was chirping
Barbie?
At people? What was he chirping at people about last time, though?
Something silly. I don't remember what it was. Something super silly, though.
There was another thing where the Marine Corps did a big post, and all these idiots, it was a lot of old-timers responding to it. They were like, back in my corps, and he just kept chirping at them and shutting them down in the best way, and it kind of went viral each time because he shut all these trolls down over and over, and that's what he's done here as well. So a couple.
So I don't want to generalize too much, but if you look at some of these people who comment and the trash things they say, it's usually like these, as you said, Kate, the old timers. And I think they have this misconception that if the core changes and adapts with time as it should, that it somehow takes away from their service when they were in the core and denigrates the Marine Corps as they once knew it. And it's not even remotely true.
Yeah, they have like two brain cells. So Todd Cutting said, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell worked just fine. And then here comes Chief Warrant Officer Bobby Yarbrough. Bobby,
I like the picture. Bobby Yarbrough just comes in and he's like, well, you son of a bitch. You really stepped in it now.
Said Todd Cutting, I would imagine all the LGBT that were kicked out of service would disagree. No heterosexuals were kicked out due to sexuality. The policy was terrible and needed to go away. Respectfully, Chief Warrant Officer Bobby Yarbrough. And which that one's just more straightforward, but it got way more likes than the troll, which is very important, the troll to responder ratio. And then Greg Flater said, this is about the dumbest thing I've heard all month. Leave my fucking Marine Corps alone. It was never intended to be a freaking social experiment. To which Chief Warrant Officer Bobby Yarbrough replied, this happened 10 years ago. Obviously, it didn't break our Marine Corps. Fuck you, respectfully, Chief Warrant Officer Bobby. He didn't say fuck you.
My two favorite parts about Bobby Yarbrough: number one, he puts the full signature in every single response to include his title. That's number one. And number two, everything is just so matter of fact. I just imagine him sitting at that keyboard, just everything is typed out in a monotone voice.
But basically,
think about what it took to get to that level for him. The amount of don't give a fuck whenever you are Chief Warrant Officer is so through the roof. Mm-hmm. What are they going to possibly do to you? And whenever you're sitting there reading, if you've been a communications person in the Marine Corps for the past 15 years for his career, and you're the one that's responsible and going through and moderating what's going on in Facebook, that is a miserable existence.
Well,
yeah.
You know what?
I think he's just tired of all the BS. So he's like, you know what? Gloves are coming off, and I'm just going to say what I mean.
Well, he's probably got 1 or 2 years still retirement. He's like, fuck it. Here we go.
The one news outlet that I was reading this story from reached out to his command and like his whoever's above him, and they said, you know, are you okay with this? And they were like, yeah, absolutely. Everything he's saying goes along with what we believe and what we stand for now. So
if they weren't, they'd be like,
yeah, we don't have any problem.
Get the fuck off.
They're like, he's going.
You're not doing it.
He's going with our values right now. And they also said that, you know, sometimes we get it wrapped up in responding to trolls and it's a waste of our time. But he also said it's important, coming from an official Marine Corps account, to show that the Marine Corps is not okay with this shit anymore and to shut it down, to actively shut it down. I think it's really important for people to see, honestly.
Yeah, because when different units highlight what's going on wrong, it really makes a difference in the perception. And we want to see more of that in what we're going to talk about in round number four with PFC Vanessa Guillen. Because her story is getting some attention nationwide now. It's picking up. I remember seeing it I mean, because let's be honest, on Zero Block 30, we follow military news very closely. I mean, twice a week, we come up with multiple topics to figure out what we're going to talk about for that week, for that episode. And this was one, when it first came up, I believe it was on local news here, or maybe a couple Facebook pages, because she's from near here, Fort Hood. I was like, I haven't heard this story. How is that fucking possible?
I saw it. It was these kind of DD214 meme accounts. It was these military meme accounts that were spreading it, being like, hey, everybody look out for this woman. She, like, let's help out here. I didn't see it very much in the news at all. And it's pretty crazy. At this point, basically to give a background on it, agents for the Army Criminal Investigation Command have returned to a location along a river about 30 miles from Fort Hood, Texas, where partial human remains were found and could be related to the search for a soldier who has been missing from the base for more than 2 months now. And that is Guillen, a 20-year-old small arms repairer with 3rd Cavalry Regiment, and she's been missing since April 22nd. She was last seen at work in the armory room of the regiment's engineer squadron, and basically they found her cell phone, her car, her keys, everything. She was in civilian clothes. She was like off work hours, but she was there. And so the belief is that she got in the car with someone she knew. She left her stuff and got in the car with somebody she knew. So over 2 months ago, 20 years old, she went missing. The command does believe now foul play is involved, but there was very little done apparently by the command to do anything about it. It was like, oh, she's missing, whatever. So much so that the family, friends, just supporters started protesting outside the gate of Fort Hood, being like, do more, do fucking more. And
her mom standing there with a sign with her picture on it. It's heartbreaking.
It's gutting. And so I saw a tweet today that was like, that like made my heart hurt. And I forget who wrote it, but it said, you know, was it 3-6 who lost those two rifles? They couldn't leave the base. They couldn't do shit until those two rifles were found for a long time. Like, and a lot of things, if you lose a pair of MVGs, they were like, they're treating her less than a pair of MVGs that got lost. Like, that's how little they seem to care about it. And now celebrities like Salma Hayek are going on their Instagrams, showing her picture and asking, demanding more action. And it just sucks that I think they closed it and then they reopened it because people were making such a fuss, but it really does seem like not much was being done to really get on the ball.
There's been a lot of stories in the news lately.
I'm sorry. How did CID get involved? Were they involved this entire time since April 22nd, or were they involved, they stopped looking, and then they got back involved?
I think that's what I read happened. I'm not 100%, but I think it was they reopened or they're reinvestigating certain parts of it. But now they were given additional information, and the remains have been sent to a forensic anthropologist to see if it's her or not. So I'm pretty sure we're going to hear in the next few days if it is. And also, the discovery comes only 2 weeks after the remains of another missing Fort Hood soldier, Private Gregory Morales, who has been missing since August of 2019, was found in a field in Killeen, Texas, just outside the base. So it's just gutting. But
yeah, I don't know. I hate to say, but like if all her things were left behind, I think about like myself, like whenever I leave my house, I just always have all my stuff. Whenever you guys leave your house, you always have your phone, your wallet, whatever. I would never leave that behind, even if I was getting in a car with someone I knew. So it screams to me that this was something more terrible than that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And it's just very, very sad because I can't imagine, you know, what her mother is going through right now. And especially if you feel as though there's not being done enough, because I think when it's your child, and Chaps and Kyle can speak to this, when it's your child, you feel like everyone should be moving heaven and earth to find where your child is. And if anyone is doing anything short of that, it's not enough.
Yeah.
And I think that a couple of these rounds today has really showed the voice that you can have on social media. Even if you don't have a big following or you don't have any of this or that, when you're talking about affecting negative command climates or getting going on an investigation for somebody's life, which is insane that you have to have that level of social media involvement to do that. You have the ability to do that. Let your voice be heard. We've seen that all across the country lately with different movements that started on social media, where people that don't have like the largest platforms have really affected change. And then it gets picked up and picked up and picked up. The next thing you know, the state of Mississippi flag is different, and you can affect real change by using your voice.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing about being an American now, is that you have the opportunity. Your voice can be louder than it ever has been before. So make it loud.
And you know what's crazy too? I think we've seen enough now with various documentaries on streaming services. regular old civilians pick up these stories and they start putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And it's unbelievable how cases have been solved now just from other people just getting very involved in the stories and looking at the clues and putting the pieces of the puzzle together.
We talked about one on the Chaps and Kate show with the YouTuber family that like gave up their son for adoption. Remember that one, Kate?
Yeah.
Like
people did the research and figured it out.
Yeah,
we're
like, hey, where's this? Where's
same
this
with
other
the Golden
son
State
at?
Killer, the two ladies who went and found the gold. Yep. But I just hope, and one last thing is because I lurk on Facebook and I follow a lot of like the female Marines account and a lot of like women military accounts. Mm-hmm. And Gian had told her family that she was facing sexual harassment from a sergeant in her unit before she disappeared. And nothing was done about it. That she reported, but nothing was done about it. And so a lot of women in the military right now are changing their profiles to this. It's somebody drew it, but a military person drew it with the eyes covered and said, like, I am, you know, Vanessa Gian.
Right.
And it's all these women saying, yeah, I get how that goes. I, too, have been sexually harassed in my unit and nothing's been done about it. And so people are really, it's really resonating with a lot of women who are in the military right now.
Well, that's the danger of letting things like round number two go. Whenever you have these toxic climates and you're just letting sexual harassment, sexual assault and things like that go, then it ends up being something that we talk about in round number four. And you can't tolerate that. You've got to, everybody needs to be treated equally for their own value and what they bring to the military and just what they bring as a human being, let alone
it's,
the military.
You're 100% correct. Cause it's guess what? Like when you hear a story about this,
guess what alert?
Guess what? you hear a story about this, about one of your leaders potentially, you know, one of your NCOs potentially sexually harassing a soldier. That becomes a huge headache as a commander. But what do you have to do? You have to choose the harder right over the
easier
wrong.
That's
the
reason why you get paid, though.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's why you have that rank. That's why you're put in that position, to be able to choose the harder right over the easier wrong and do the right thing and step up. And even if your top NCO, doesn't matter. Take care of the situation. You can't allow that climate to become pervasive in your unit.
Sending good vibes to her family.
No doubt. Feel terrible for her family. Let's move on to round number five. Round number five, little LSD goofing. Kate loves talking about drugs and booze. We're going to do that in round number five. This one comes from us from Task and Purpose for our guy, Jared Keller, who's been on the show before. The Navy Criminal Investigative Service has a message for America's sailors. Please, for the love of Poseidon and the seven seas, stop buying hallucinogens and dark corners of the internet. Hallucinogens. There we go. NCIS issued a warning last week to sailors about the risk of acquiring LSD. Should you have to do that? Should NCIS have to be like, hey guys, don't buy acid.
Chaps,
hey,
I know,
guys,
I
drugs
know you
are
know,
bad.
I know you know the military, so I know you know the answer is yes, they do have to tell them.
Yeah, they do have to.
Yeah, come
they
on.
Clearly because they have found it in the dark web, which is a place I want to be. If
Me
you know
too.
How to get in the dark web, Kate, you are not ready for the dark web.
You're not ready.
If you can help CBT get on the dark web.
You can't keep your Apple MacBook going.
Yeah, but picture me on the dark web goofing, though.
No. Kate, you go, you try. Kate, you try to get on the dark web, might find out about it. That's fucking instantaneous.
You know where I
want
to flash my titty, my one tit, is the dark web.
We almost have to move on to save round.
Okay.
Seriously.
Okay. Anyway.
All right. So recent law enforcement reporting has revealed that an increasing number of people are moving to purchase illicit substances via the dark web because of the perceived anonymity provided by tools like the Onion Router, TOR, which our guy Kyle knows about, or ExpressVPN. With the promo code CBT.
Hey, UCBT to help you guys.
Oh, no. We are not involved with drugs.
Anonymity for obscuring IP addresses. Law enforcement use various investigative techniques to identify both purchasers and sellers. The notice doesn't just address the foolishness to acquire the Schedule I narcotic online, but the potential dangers to U.S. service members. Drugs purchased via the dark web are laced with other substances and dangerous combinations that can often lead to death. This is something as a dog handler that I had no idea about because I was a good little Bible boy before I joined the Marine Corps. The cocaine that we use for the dogs, if the normal person took that cocaine, they would die.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because it's so unbelievably pure and not cut at all. It's just like perfect cocaine that... And like some of the guys that were in our units and ladies that had done coke, they're like, man, I'd love to hit a couple grams of this fucking
I have a question, chaps. that canine yayo. Chaps, I have a question. So if it's so pure, I feel like I again, I'm not a drug guy. I never even had a desire to touch cocaine.
We get it. You're a nerd.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I would imagine there's more bad cocaine out there than there is super pure cocaine.
Actually.
So would you want your dogs? Would you want your dogs to know how to sniff out the stuff that's been cut a bunch of times, or the most pure stuff? Or once they know the pure stuff, they can find the stuff that's cut.
Yeah, I always explain how dogs find things by the color spectrum. So if you teach them to find blue and you teach them to find yellow, then they can find all the ones in between. Yeah. That's kind of the same way it works. So you give them the most pure shit and they can find like the off little shoots of that.
Okay.
Moving on through the story. Additionally, international, federal, and state and local law enforcement officials were working collectively using a variety of techniques to infiltrate marketplaces, identify users, and combat the illicit drug threat. The Navy's getting away with so much shit lately.
Right?
What's going on? They're prostitute goofing in Bahrain. They're down in South America doing South America things. Now they're buying fucking LSD. Apparently they found out about it because more and more military members were showing up with Eddie Garcia posters on.
Yes, that's right.
Which is very concerning.
Why are they always listening to Fish on that ship? What the fuck? Huh? Grateful Dead again?
What the hell? What the hell?
Who's blaring that over the space? Well, I think a reason people do it is because they're saying here it's tough to test for it. Like, you know, it takes... and then I love this. The warning that they just issued was based on recent LSD-related incidents. I would love to know what those are. I would love to be the MP on duty when some Navy sailor tripping balls comes rolling through the gate.
You know what we need access to?
LSD.
We need access to the nationwide blotter report on base.
Oh.
So we can just see the amount of information that we can just have. I think that people should start using ZBT as like a little inspiration for when they're writing stuff for the blotters. Like, service member was found goofing at the base, drunk and passed out.
We get to rewrite them. We should. Yeah. We should start rewriting them.
They're like, hey, you know what? Should I do this? I don't know. Maybe if I do, I'll get on CBT. All right, let's do it.
Yeah. If you have access to the blotter report, slide
it to
our
DMs. Please let us know. Slide it our way.
Yeah, we'd love to see that.
I'll say this. I never did drugs when I was in, and I think pretty awful if you do. Don't do it. You signed up to do this. You volunteered for it. Don't do drugs while you're in, kids. Yeah. But I'll tell you this. I've done a lot of mushrooms, and I both before and after the Marine Corps. And it's
Katie Schruman.
And I don't be willy-nilly with it. But if you go into it with a purpose and you're with the right people and you're in the right place, it can be pretty chill. And
For instance, the Air Force Academy.
Yeah, the Air Force. Can I say also that – can I say this? That I've done acid once.
We already knew that. You told us that
before. Okay. On here. Well, also, again, with the right group of people, but that was a one and done. It went so perfectly the first time, but it was also so powerful, and I hallucinated so much that I have a crazy respect for it now that I'm like, it went well once. I'm afraid if it doesn't, I understand how powerful it is, so I think it's a one and done. But, oh my God, I was on a beach.
Wow.
I was stomping around, and every footstep, just beautiful sparkles came out of my feet. I kicked the water, and rainbows were coming out of it. Oh, God.
It's basically like you're living in Fern Gully.
I was. There was one moment where it was going so well.
To the last rainforest.
It was going so well. I took a second one in the middle of the night, and then spiders started crawling everywhere. That was a no-no. But then the group I was with got me back on track, and it was
Kate, no one said anything about an amnesty box being open.
Let me just say to all our listeners and kids out there, listen, you're going to have friends just like I do who call you a nerd, but guess what? It's cool to also just say no.
It is.
Second guess what of the show.
Yeah. Second guess what.
But anyways, don't just go doing it willy-nilly, and also make sure you know where you're
going. Despite the
from.
Fact that Kate just made it seem awesome, it's actually bad. Don't do it while
it
you're in uniform.
It was the best experience of my life. Oh, it was so great.
Let's move on to Save Rounds Alibis.
Why did ZBT lose all their sponsors?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Drugs.
Before we move into Save Rounds Alibis, I've been wanting to say it. We've been doing this on the Chaps and Kate show. Here is Cocaine by Eric Clapton. Kyle, we'll start with Kyle this week.
Yeah.
You guys want to get on some dark web goofing?
Oh, long pause, Kyle. Hit ass.
God damn it. I was muted again. Anyways, I'll cut it. No, I won't.
Whatever. Hey, what do you got? What do you got, Monty?
What are you cutting after that cocaine song, Kyle? What do you...
You guys want to do some dark web goofing? Kate?
Oh, yeah. Yes, Kate? We do. Yes, please.
I don't know, Kate. I'm scared for you
Kate, you get lost on YouTube rabbit holes. I don't trust you on the dark web.
Please get me on the dark web. Please.
I'll get you there, but I hold no legal responsibility.
That's fine.
For where you end up.
Just open the gate and let me run through it.
That's okay. All right. You asked for this.
Okay. All right. I'm going to show my tit on the dark web.
Don't, Kate.
Don't
for
do that.
LSD.
Okay, that, yeah. Yeah,
right. Okay.
But no, nope, that's all I got. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Yeah, happy 4th.
Cons, what about you?
All right, I got a few things. Number one, this one's for everyone. Favorite 4th of July food item to eat, to have on the 4th of July?
Jello shots with whipped cream on top.
Okay.
Lobster rolls.
Nice. Kyle?
I like how Kate's wasn't something to eat, really. It was just another way to get trashed.
LSD. What's your favorite? Heroin. My favorite 4th of July treat is heroin.
Oh, chasing the dragon.
Okay. All right.
Mine is
crocodile.
My wife. Mine's just doing cocaine off a hard penis.
Mushrooms.
Okay, too much.
Yo, meanwhile, Kate's father listens to this show, and I can only imagine... The horror.
He's gonna be
sliding into my Instagram DMs again. Like,
he's
what
not
are
gonna
you
like
doing?
This one very much. That's okay.
My wife makes this delicious cake, and she makes it like in a flat. She'll put whipped cream and stuff, and it looks like a flag. She'll put blueberries,
Kyle,
strawberries.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best.
I was just gonna say my favorite thing, and she passed away in 2011, but my nana used to do the same thing. And it was just a great thing to say on the 4th of July.
And am I right that nobody else, you might have it elsewhere, Cons, but it'll never be as good as Nana's? Is that correct?
No.
Right?
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Correct. Nana just puts her finger in it and it makes it a little bit better.
That's right.
A little bit sweeter.
Nana's finger will get you every single time.
All right. There's two more real quick. So I don't know what made me think of this. Chaps, just deal with me. I don't know what I don't know what made me think of this. But of the four of us, which... one of us or all of us could flip-flop roles. So as an example, I became an enlisted E6. Chaps, you became an O3. Kate, you became an O3. Kyle, you became an O3. Which one of us or all of us or none of us could do this?
I mean, me and Kyle could easily do Kate's because we were corporals at one point.
Right. They could be mine. And you could, Cons, you could do mine, but you might get beat up.
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
could be a corporal, yeah. but they'll be like,
you've never done drugs,
you're
bitch.
Not doing drugs? What? Huh? He just said, kick rocks, everybody. Beat his ass. anyway, no, you'll
Kate,
be fine. You're probably.
Kate, I was going to say, Kate, I think you could be a PAO.
I would love
especially
to.
In today's day and age,
no,
I think you could
I don't
be
know.
A PAO.
Sunday morning trigger Katie would be.
Yeah, true.
No. But I'd be paired up with Chief Warrant Officer Bobby Yarbrough. So everything I did would have to be run through him so he could help me. And we'd be Chief Warrant Officer Bobby Yarbrough, hit me up. We'll do yeah. some.
You'll be
I'll give you
duty?
Some ideas. Yeah, I'll help you clap back at people in my own way. But I think I would be if I was an officer, I'd be like a walking Mr. Bean sketch. Like, I would just be a joke to everyone, I think. So, it's for the best.
My old major, Major Riley, used to get pissed that I wouldn't put in an officer package.
Yeah.
He would be so mad about it.
Yeah, like, Chaps, I mean, from everything I know about you and how squared away you are, I think you could be an officer.
Yeah, you would have been a good one.
And then one. Finally, RIP to a veteran that we lost this week, a veteran from the entertainment world, Carl Reiner, passed away at the age of 98. He was obviously very accomplished, multiple Academy or Emmys and all sorts of awards. He got the Mark Twain Award for comedy. And if you've never seen the HBO documentary that was him and a couple of his older buddies in their 90s, and it was titled If I Wake Up and I'm Not in the Obit, Eat Breakfast. Basically, like, if I wake up and I'm not dead, just go on about your day. It's a good documentary on HBO that I would recommend. So RIP to Carl Reiner.
There we
That's
go. Kate.
One.
World War II veteran.
Just a happy 4th of July to everybody. I hope, you know, I know we're all social distancing stuff, but I know we're getting more comfortable just being around our little family units and stuff. I hope people just get to enjoy time with their families this weekend. Just take a break, relax, kick back, set up a few bottle rockets. Out of your beehole if you want. It's a free country. Again, I circle back to that. Watch your balls.
Chaps?
I hate you, Chaps. I hate you. Don't leave me here. Chaps.
Sound the retreat.
God damn it.